This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Coming up, we're going to hear from some of the players at the Combine, including Jalen Walker, who praised his UGA teammates and what Malachi Starks is saying, and Dan Quinn talking about how this feels different the year as far as the draft. It's interesting to hear from all the coaches and the perspective. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, guys. 4 o'clock hour is brought to you by our friends at Mark Spain Real Estate. Thanks to Zach Klein, who stopped by, Mike. People still chiming in on that conversation in regards to the Falcons, is what he said about Pitts and Grady, and just talking in general about what they're trying to get accomplished up there. He's been up there at the Combine all week long.
Yep, and I know some guys, it's just a silly argument, and it's fun for Sports Talk Radio to say, if you're going to say, we are not bringing any offensive coaches or any offensive interviews, it's all defense. Which, you know, I said to Carlos, it's a bit ham. It's a bit gimmicky, but that's okay. Now, we did hear from Zach. He was of the opinion, unless Dwayne Ledford's got a lookalike, that one of our offensive line coaches, including the offensive line coach, was up there in Indy, exactly. Which I think is fine. Like, I'm just, guys, they give you these resources. Yes, there are pro days, but it's a one-stop shop to get to talk to the guys so you know where these guys are slotted. And then the idea is to have a working knowledge of the dude. And if it comes down to between guy A and guy B, you like guy A because you had a conversation with him or something. Sometimes it comes down to that. Other things, it just simply call the metrics.
No, it's true. My whole thing, though, is you, sir, will lose your mind if they end up drafting somebody offensively, any offensive position, in the first round. You will be the first one to say, what are we doing? We need defense. So that's why I'm saying I have no issues with this. Let's focus in on what we need. If they screw this up and they draft the guy or position, Mike, that we need, we don't know how good it'll be.
Right.
And let's just say it doesn't work. I can live with that. If they draft a tackle or guard in this first round, I can't live with that, Mike.
Right. But, you know, again, in the 15th overall pick, if you can't find a way to move up because we don't have the resources, potentially, unless you get, you know, you dig into next year's picks, 2026, if for argument's sake, Will Johnson's off the board, right, and all the other, what you guys perceive as the elite edge rushers are off, and you can't find a linebacker, I mean, you're going to go for need? I mean, that's why I think, as much as, yes, we would rip them a new one on Friday, it's still just good business sense to have all your ducks, you know, in a row or have all your bases covered. That's all I'm saying.
Keep that soundbite.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, and based on what, and you and I have said this, with the exception maybe two times in the last, you and I have been doing radio for 11 years together. Twice have we gotten what we wanted. You called the Bijan, and we both agreed it was going to be Vic Beasley.
Actually, Pitts, I told you they were going to take him. I told you Bijan was coming. I also
I didn't agree with what I'm saying. It was the right pick.
Correct. And I also said that there's a chance that they could go Michael Penix, and everybody lost their minds. Like, we're on to where this might go, but this year is easy. Mm. This year, there is no, well, they could go receiver, they could go tackle. This is easy this year. The hard part is determining who's the best fit.
They might, and where this gets weird for some fans is, we all think edge rush, but they may see, in their evaluations, that the defensive tackles are rated higher than the edge rushers available at 15. And that gets you into, even though we think we need that edge rush, maybe they think Braylon Trice is going to pop. Or, you know, him along, Ebikadie along with a much better, bigger piece next to Grady is the winning formula.
We're going to see. 404-726-0929. By the way, poll question's up. We're talking about Terry Fontenot, and we will dive back into that conversation. Because I just simply said, what's your grade on him? Is this his time? This is when the team gets built. And it's not just about this week. It's about the entire offseason. And then when we get to the season, guess what? It's Ross time. That's when he's got to put these pieces in place to be successful. For Terry Fontenot, whether you think he's been good, bad, or indifferent, or, hey, he's been really good here but bad here, I'm going to give him, I don't know, a B. Maybe I give him a B+. Maybe you give him a D, and here's why. Right. Go vote at Dukes and Bill 929. We want to hear from you. Let's talk some dogs. So UGA hasn't made any significant coaching changes, but they did add an analyst. And you were just saying this about how different it is. Fast forward, or actually rewind, right, 12 to 15 years ago.
Mark Richt would actually have to go out of his own paycheck and basically tell then the athletic director, whoever the athletic director was at the time, you know, I really could use some other help on offense and maybe some more assistant coaches. And they had a cap. And then, you know, Kirby came in here and said, look, if we're going to do this, we're going to do this the right way. And it's basically a blank check. And that's what Kirby's had. So the reason you're bringing it up, I think, is, yes, UGA hasn't made any big coaching changes. I mean, they lost a special teams coach. They have another one. But they basically brought in more assistants. He's got more assistants than Mark Richt ever had by any measurable count. Because Mark, we used to talk about it. Mark would go, I guess just take it out of my check. No, we don't have to do that, Coach. But Kirby, look, I'm not arguing with the results because the results are back-to-back natties. Right now, things are a little different because of the transfer portal. The field has been leveled.
The latest hire is a guy named Garrett Cox. He spent the 2024 season as a defensive analyst at TCU, worked primarily with the linebackers, but he has ties to Georgia, and he previously was a student assistant and grad assistant back in 06. So he worked as an analyst with Kirby Smart and Glenn Schumann when they were at Alabama. So, again, friends, people you know, people you trust. Cox is going to come in. Mike, he spent time at Michigan and Tennessee. So he brings some experience. And to your point, let's just add to this. But on the offensive side of the ball, Georgia recently brought in Ty Hatcher. He was previously working with quarterbacks at Oklahoma. Does this say anything about the quarterback room in Mike Bobo, or is this just more resources? Hatcher, by the way, is the son of Samford head coach Chris Hatcher.
Okay.
Of course, Kirby knows Chris very well, and that's who hired Kirby in his first job. So I'm just curious to say, like, okay, is this just more resources for Mike Bobo, or does this say something else?
I don't know, maybe more voices, maybe more eyeballs on the situation to help. I mean, I think that Kirby, as we said, he was never going to, because the fans or the media was going, you got to get rid of Bobo. He's going to get rid of Bobo when he's damn good and ready, and it's going to have to be a lot worse than it is now. And he's not going to do it.
When I'm damn good and ready.
I'll run my program. But I just think that, yeah, it's just more help to evaluate the quarterback position, and it's not a bad thing. And if they're going to let you do it, the athletic department cut a check, then go for it. But you got, like, Gunnar Stockton better be the best damn quarterback in this conference, you know? And you got Arch Manning and DJ Lagway. So, I mean, he's going to have to. I know we got all these weapons for him. We talked about the transfer portal at wide receiver. I mean, how confident are dog fans with Gunnar Stockton, you know, based on a half in a game?
I think Puglisi has a shot. I do.
Mm.
If they give him a fair opportunity to compete.
In spring ball, right.
If they give him a fair opportunity. If they have their mindset already on Gunnar, then, Mike, that gets back to, all right, well, kids, you're going to have to sit another year, and we'll see where it goes, and let's always be ready week in and week out. But if this is a true competition, everybody's telling me Puglisi's talented, man. And, like, as a player, the worst thing is for coaches to want one guy and another guy's outplaying the other dude.
Right. Now, we do know, and I've always joked around, that, like, the guy who's got one more snap than the other guy is the veteran, and he's the guy that's going to be the incumbent. But don't forget, you know, when JT Daniels goes down, Kirby had no problem sticking with Stetson Bennett. The rest is history. So he'll always go for the better option. You and I have debated a long, long time about why don't they get the elite athlete. I mean, the true dual threat, that's really not their thing. Although this guy, Gunnar Stockton, technically is a dual threat, you know, weapon.
You mentioned the quarterbacks just real quick. Yes, and I think it starts with Arch Manning because there's so much hype surrounding him at Texas and what the program will be with him at quarterback and, you know, the next couple of years. Is Texas in the college football playoff? They should be. More importantly, they probably are playing, you know, in the Final Four or for a chance to win a national championship. But, Mike, we keep forgetting Garrett Nussmeier is coming back
right
at LSU, and I think he has a chance to be really good as well. You mentioned South Carolina's quarterback. I think, like, there are guys.
Lenore Sellers, yeah.
Yeah, that are better right now than, even if it is Gunnar Stockton, that they're looking at. You mentioned
Poppy is coming back at Vandy, right?
He is. Yeah. Lagway. Like, there's five or six guys right now that.
Iamaleva at Tennessee. Nico's back for the Vols. More experience.
All those guys are better.
Right.
And that's not to say that Georgia won't win. But right now, if you had a pecking order, right, all of those guys played this year. And they're all coming back, and I think they're better than what Gunner is right now. That's not to say, again, he won't be a good quarterback.
I'm reading an Athlon breakdown. This is the way too early quarterback rankings, because it is. And they guess where they got, take a wild guess. Guess where they got Gunner Stockton ranked in the SEC?
Last.
11th.
Second to last.
Yeah, I mean, Jackson Arnold from Auburn, as they try to get that straightened out. Ty Simpson, Alabama 13. Blake Shapen, Mississippi State. Missouri's Bo Pribula. And Zach Calzada at Kentucky comes in dead last.
Yeah. Well, again, they're just living in the portal. I'm surprised, you know, Stoops hadn't been fired yet. He's just speaking of stealing money. Right now, he just is. There's no success. There's nothing going on there.
Now you sound like a jaded booster.
Well, it's true. My money does go there. But the fact is, he's not doing enough. Like, he's just not. He's just like, oh, living off the past.
He
oh.
gave you one of the great seasons in Kentucky history,
What are
Carl?
You talking about? They beat Ole Miss. Whoop-dee-doo. 404-726-0929.
See? Now you're turning on Stoops the way I turn on
It's coaches. True. I mean, like, come on. Do something. All right, but you know what? I felt the same way about Rick Barnes when he left Texas. You know that. I mean, like,
yeah, he made it easy for you.
Exactly. Though. Barnes goes to Tennessee. Everybody's excited. I'm like, Tennessee fans, what has he done for
you? Actually, it was, to Carl's point, it was 2018 he won 10 games.
Hadn't done anything. Yeah, he hadn't done anything. So, you know, last year, who was the quarterback they went and got from Georgia? Remember the kid they got?
Brock Vandergriff. Yeah.
Vandergriff quit at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And this thing's a disaster.
Yeah. 7-6, 7-6, 4-8, the last three.
All right.
Carl is now apparently one of those guys, those boosters you hear about that stir the drink up there at Kentucky.
Well, listen. Coach Pope is keeping my confidence, all right? That's the only thing. Hey, as we talk about the quarterbacks, though, but that's why spring ball is important. That's why right. you need to figure out who has the edge. And listen, if Kirby, he says it all the time. There is a.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Competition that's going on. I think you let them play it out, Mike. This is not, it shouldn't be anybody's job heading into spring. Does Gunnar Stockton have an advantage? Surely.
Right.
But I also think if you want to see what you got, you let these guys play it out. And if somebody outplays somebody, then you go into the fall, Mike, and he's not going to tip his cap, guys. Every year we ask Kirby the same thing. Who's your guy? Who's your guy? Every year it's like, we'll see, and then we get to the fall.
Exactly. But Pelosi, you mentioned Pelosi, we talked about gun. I mean, this is, though, a year where the weapons should be there. I mean, the drops were just getting to the point where, Georgia fans, I don't tell you guys anything you don't know, pulling your hair out. You know, and the offensive line, you're turning it over. That's why, I mean, you see people, some guys around the league, look at the SEC and say, Georgia's not what you think it is this year. Well, I mean, all these assistant coaches we just talked about better earn their paycheck and max it out.
There's a lot of them. All right, 404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. Hey, we've been talking about it today. I just want to re-mention it because there's so many sports angles to this with Gene Hackman passing away at age 95. Great life. One of the best actors, if not the best, to ever do it. But found today, along with his wife and his dog, in their New Mexico home, dead, and there is an investigation going on, but Mike and I were talking about some of the movies. We're going to talk more about it coming up in Guy Talk, I know, but some guys are hitting us up saying, you guys heard about Gene Hackman? Yes, and we know he's one of the greatest actors of his time.
And it's really cool. I'm seeing today on social media, on Twitter, all the guys, all the famous actors who worked with him, and you know, he knew Dustin Hoffman as he was coming up. You know, he was a Marine. By the way, Gene was a Marine.
Real life.
As a teenager, and then got his chance in acting like so many guys of that generation did. But it's kind of neat to see everybody who's worked with him, you know, whether it was one movie or, you know, like Morgan Freeman in a number of movies, saying how much a treat it was to work with the guy and a consummate pro and just a guy's guy. But, you know, he raced cars, too. You know, I remember when I was a kid watching on TV, he used to race. Remember the old Long Beach Grand Prix by the Queen Mary? They'd always have a celebrity race, and Gene would always be one of the celebrities in the race, which is kind of cool. But anyway, we'll talk more about that coming up later in the hour.
Yeah, sad for sure, but man, he was talented. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, he just was. And by the way, here's what's crazy. There are folks right now, Mike, listening. He retired like 20 years ago. He hadn't done anything.
Yeah, the last big movie was probably Runaway Jury that you remember him in.
So there are people like, wait a minute, Gene Hackman? Yeah, because he's been retired. He was secluded and went away. And
well, he said he went for a physical and basically said his heart
was getting.
The New York Post article today was saying he just realized, look, I'm not at the top of my game. I'm going to walk away.
And it's great. So many others just continue to hold on and take roles, and Mike is just not. And then that's when we're critical, like, he's not the same dude. Gene Hackman made you believe every character he ever played, he was that guy. That's the brilliance of Gene Hackman.
I mean, he could play a heavy. One of my favorite movies, I love that Kevin Costner movie, No Way Out. Remember the first time you saw that? He plays the Secretary of Defense. And I mean, it's, I don't agree with it for you, you hadn't seen it, but great in that. Even like in fun movies that like Get Shorty. He's great in that. Or even like something silly like The Replacements, where he plays like the coach that Gibbs is based. He's based on Joe Gibbs, because the Redskins at the time, that was their name, were the only team that really took The Replacements seriously that season.
That, I had to look it up because it's been so long since I've seen it. Another movie he was great in, and Will Smith is coming up, right? He's made Independence Day, but in the late 90s, there was a movie called...
he was like the conspiracy theorist.
Enemy of the State.
Yes.
He was great in that, too.
Right.
It was really good. So, yeah, man, we could go on and on. He's got an unbelievable hit list of movies, but Gene Hackman passing away at 95. All right, we're coming back. We're going to let you hear from some of the guys at the Combine. What are they saying and what's going on up there? We'll fill you in on the latest next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The They are focused on defense. I think it's the right thing to do, but they are also focused on edge rushers. The news today, if you're just joining us, is Penn State pass rusher Abdul Carter, viewed as one of the top players in the draft, maybe the top player, but his medical evaluation just got a little bit more complicated. He's got a stress fracture in his foot, his right foot. Mike, he wasn't going to work out because he was coming off a shoulder injury. And now they're spinning this, and Drew Rosenhaus is like, look, teams are interested and nothing's changed. He is going to work out at his pro day. But I got to say this, and I said it to start the show, guys. This is a concern. If I'm a general manager, I'm like, yeah, I got to really look at this. It's not about now. He's young. He can recover, obviously. But Mike, as he grows into the guy you expect him to with your team, does this creep up? These feet injuries and stuff like this, it's always tricky.
Yeah, as we said, it doesn't define him, but I do think there's some teams now that are having a little bit of a pause. And, you know, should he have maybe gotten ahead of it? And, you know, because then, you know, people are going to look at the film, and now he's all of a sudden, now he's going to go 15 to 30, and the money's not there. And Drew Rosenhaus says, other teams are still interested in him. Of course, you're Drew Rosenhaus. You're going to, you know, you're going to spin it any way you want. But look, everyone sees the talent. I mean, but if you feel that you've got a Micah Parsons or a Micah Parsons meets Reggie White, I saw that the other day. Well, that's easy. Let's tap the brakes on that. but if he's that good, I mean, yeah, then teams will take him. But now there's going to be a tremendous value for someone because of the injury concern. Miles Garrett just dealt with, you know, we found out he's had some foot injuries his entire career, just kind of cropped up this year, but he's been able to get through it. But when you are looking at a guy and you're one of the worst teams in the NFL picking top 10, you know, that's a big risk now all of a sudden. Maybe it's not the slam dunk that Abdul Carter was a day ago.
We're not talking simply about just position. This is like when Bijan was drafted, and I told you guys he's maybe the fourth best player in this draft. And then the Falcons took him. Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter are arguably the two best players in this draft. Not just position, just players. But how does this affect things moving forward for him? Well, let's talk about some of the guys and what's coming out of the combine. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Jalen Walker, dog, was talking about his teammates, Mike, and he's getting a lot of love. Now, again, where are you right now? If you have a choice to get either one, Jalen or Mikel, which one are you taking right now?
I mean, I've got to do the evaluations if I'm the coach, but as me as a fan, I think Mikel's going to be more of the edge rusher, but they're both guys that we said yesterday, they function and do so much, and there has to do so much in Kirby's defense, but are they going to be a double-digit sack person? Are they going to be dropped? Because they might be the perfect, either one might be the perfect fit for the way Elbrick's going to use them. Dropping back, you know, Walker can cover guys, you know, out of the backfield. There's all these things these guys can do when maybe we're, as you said yesterday, you and I are looking at the wrong players. We know we want Georgia. We've passed on so many Georgia players. We're looking at the Eagles. But are these the guys that we need to be the dogs that can be the Falcons? Are they specific hand in the dirt? That's going to be my guy for a decade to go get 10 sacks every year.
And that's the thing. It's a valid point. It really is. Like, we're also caught up in you can't pass up on a dog. Right. Well, you can if that is not the fit. And that's hard for any of us to swallow because you go, wait a minute, well, everybody else is making these guys work. That's part of the evaluation.
I mean, I kind of had my fair share of Falcon players that are drafted and described as guys that can do everything but don't do one specific thing.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's hear from Jalen Walker talking about his teammates.
Nolan Smith was my older brother. Him being that leader of that team for the Georgia defense in 2022 meant everything for me. So his guidance and his mentoring throughout the years was great for me, and I really appreciate him very much.
I think
me and Brock. I mean, crazy enough, me and Brock had class together. So we would drive back. I would drive me and him drive back to the facility together. And I mean, he's a great guy, great individual, just not on the football field, but as a person.
He's talking about Brock because they were talking about the Raiders. The Raiders pick sixth in this draft. They're saying, is that a possibility? Listen, I think Jalen right now may go before Mikel just because he can do so much more.
Right.
He offers you more to put him on the field in different situations. To your point about Mikel, hey, come off the edge. Let's get the quarterback. Pin your ears back. All right, he's great at that, but can he do all the other stuff that Jalen does? I think Jalen goes first, right. And I would take him probably before I would Mikel.
A guy asked me today, hi to Rick, by the way, and his son, little Rick, two Rickies. Big listeners, by the way, they're from Fairburn. Saw them at Publix. But they were saying, do you think, because they heard our conversation yesterday, do you think that we may go defensive tackle because they feel they've got edge rushers in the building, we just haven't seen them? You know, with Dorless and Trice.
Correct.
Now, that's a hell of a – then you really loved your evaluation a year ago, but the fans just haven't had a chance to see. And again, if that works, kiss Terry's butt in the county square, man. I'm down with it. We just want to find some way to get these guys on the ground. But it makes Grady more effective if we get some big stud, you know, prototypical monster defensive tackle in that three technique.
Yeah, that's the part that we don't know. And I feel like you're getting a bunch of guys back then you can't tell me whether or not they can,
right.
they can play.
It's if.
Here's Malachi Starks, guys, considered to be the best safety in this class. He says, look, what about coming to the Falcons? Listen to this.
I mean, that'd be awesome. I get to stay home. But, you know, I watched them growing up, and, you know, they got great history there. So just being able to, you know, I just want to get my foot in the door anywhere.
Now, here's a scenario, and you're going, why would we take Starks and not, you know, take one of these edge rushers? Well, if we trade the pick.
Move back.
And we move back, I think he's going to be there. And this is where you get in the potential of what Mike's been talking about. Like, okay, some of these guys, most of the guys we're talking about are gone, but you still have a chance to get the best safety in this class. You do it. How far back are we going? I don't know. Let's say we move back 10.
Right.
Let's say we're at 25.
Bucky Brooks has him going to 27 with the Ravens.
So that's the scenario with Malachi that you go, all right, you improve your defense by getting, you know, a safety help, and then you turn back around in the second round, Mike, and then you see what's left as far as the draft, mm-hmm. as far as the edge rushers, and maybe you address that. But that's a scenario. That's if they trade the pick. I do not think you take him at 15. But I do think you take him later in the first round. What about Dan Quinn talking about how this year feels different? This is DQ, the coach of the Commanders. We're familiar with him. Obviously, I think they're picking 29th based on the playoff run, but this is DQ.
What's up, everybody? I'm glad to see you guys. And last year, standing here, I didn't know what I didn't know about our team. And the most important thing that I know now, that's the definition of a commander. And that makes this week even more purposeful in a lot of ways, because now that Adam and I aren't just picturing it, we've actually seen it. And that's a really big deal. So
there you go.
You're damn right it is.
Adam Peters is the GM Peters of the Commanders. And now I know what
Commander
looks. Matter of fact, before we begin this press conference, let's get a column of twos, do some jumping jacks. One, two, three. Now, look, we love Dan, and as we said yesterday when that Players Association poll came out, he's the number one coach that guys want to play for. So, I mean, as you said, I think what was your line yesterday? I said it when you were off going to do TV. I said, you said it was like a bad marriage at the end.
It is.
But, you know, but guys love him. Guys love playing for Coach Ra. You just got to get the results, man.
Luther Burton, Turtle, that's where he's going to go. Mm. They're going to get some weapons for Jaden Daniels. You got T right. on one side.
You imagine that?
You got Luther on the other. That's where he's going
to go. Was it Jonathan Allen they're allowing to leave?
Mm-hmm.
So that's another guy that'll
explore
to go
a trade.
Get,
yeah.
Right, at least explore a trade. Same thing goes for Debo, by the way, with the 49ers. That was the story yesterday.
All right, let's hear John Harbaugh. This is all stuff out of the combine, guys. Mike's got guy talk on the way, and also more in the Falcon Report as we will dive into our general manager. It is a conversation you don't want to miss in 30 minutes. Here's Harbaugh talking about wanting what kind of guys that he wants and he's looking at the combine.
He talked about these meetings. Do you know immediately, or how do you know if a guy is a Harbaugh type guy?
It's not a Harbaugh guy. It's a football guy. You know, I mean, how can you tell? I mean, you can some, you know, in the interactions. I mean, some guys are just, you can just tell that they're them, you know, they're not trying to bull crap you, you know, and mainly they just, you know, hey, look at the tape, you know, I mean, what you do speaks so loudly that we don't even have to hear what you say. And the reports that they get from the, you know, from their coach at the school. I mean, you know, just how do we know? I mean, you talk about our culture. You were there. I mean,
fantastic.
You were there. You were there in the weight room.
Your culture is fantastic.
Okay.
Football guys. Right. And I think he's right. I think sometimes you just know. Look, here's what's funny about like last year. We just heard, you know, Malachi Starks talk about Brock Bowers. There were a lot of people around the country who didn't see Brock consistently like we did. And they were like, is this dude really that good? And then you see what he did with the Raiders with a bum quarterback and an offensive right. line that was weak sauce. Like, there were some guys, and Brock didn't say anything. He didn't hardly speak, Mike. And remember, people were turned off. Some right. were turned off. Teams were turned off by the fact that he didn't talk a whole lot.
We had that story after the combine. I'm like, really? I said to Carl last year, what, do you want to spin plates while he's interviewing you?
But he's a player.
The guy's a rock star, for crying out loud. He's a head-down football player, man.
Yeah. So that's the kind of stuff I think Harbaugh's talking about. Like, either you know or you don't. And I think everybody, that's just a prime example and a recent example. All right, guys, we got more to get to. 404-726-0929. But as we take a look and continue to hear things, I think one of the main things that we got to take away from today, and that is Zach Klein, who stopped by, WSB. Sports director talking about Pitts. He still believes there is a chance that he could still be traded. And I agree with him. I don't think that's out of the question. It's just a matter of who's going to partner up with you to do it. The other thing he said to us today in that interview was Grady doesn't want to go anywhere, and the Falcons don't want him to go anywhere. So that means, Mike, a restructured deal.
Right. I don't want him to go anywhere if the price is right. I just, you know, the point I've been sticking to is our defensive line doesn't get pressure on the quarterback. How do you fix that? How do you address it? And why would anybody be irreplaceable or you say, I can't move on? Despite the fact, yes, I get the heart and soul of it, and you don't get better when you lose a guy like that. But when you haven't been in the playoffs for 7 years, it doesn't matter anymore. It just doesn't. I mean, that's just me. Carl, call me cold-hearted. Say that I'm just detached.
Just want to win, man.
But you haven't been in the playoffs in 7 years. No. There's not anybody you say, I can't live in a world without him.
No, we just want to win. And here's the crazy thing. Again, I said this to you guys the other day. We all just assume, and I do think Grady wants to be here. Listen, there is nothing like spending your entire career, if possible, with one team and his lineage to the team with, you know, who his dad is and all of that. But the fact is this, Mike. We don't know if he's like, bro, I'm tired.
I'd like to go win something.
Yeah, it's been an exhausting 8 or 9 years. Like, I'm ready to go somewhere else and try this, and I can still play at a high level. We don't know if he doesn't feel that way. So we're all just assuming, like, he's begging to come back. What if Grady's like, look, what have y'all really done to improve this thing over the last 4 years?
Right, and that's what I said earlier. I mean, when you don't have anything going for you, why does one guy become, oh, that's the guy? I mean, guys, before you say, don't you dare play that soundbite, Orin. What I'm saying is, it's not his fault that they drafted the wrong guys. It's not his fault they hired the wrong coaches. It's not his fault they had terrible quarterback play. But at the end of the day, he's a big cap hit on a bad defense.
All right, Mike.
I hate Grady. See, I knew it. I knew he was going to do that crap.
What do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
Did you hear what happened up in Indianapolis at the Combine?
No.
Reporter on reporter violence.
Oh.
Some are calling it the Thrilla in vanilla. Details on that. Plus, what you did not know about the legendary. Where to play is play. What a beautiful day, by the way. I know it's a little cooler than yesterday, but I guess you said that you thought it was false spring. I think we got one more week where it gets a little cooler.
I agree.
But I guess that pain in the butt groundhog was right. But either way, it's going to be nice. It'll be a nice weekend. By the way, thanks to our buddy Zach Scoop Klein. He told us last hour talking about being up in Indy, and he thought, I could have sworn he saw Dwayne Ledford, who's the Falcons' run game coordinator / offensive line coach, Dwayne Ledford, and Sean Flaherty, who's assistant O-line coach at the Combine. Now, again, it just don't mean much. It just, as you and I were talking about, it just looks a little silly when you say, we're only talking to defense, and we're only bringing defensive coaches to Indy. It's like, guys, look, the team is bad enough. You don't have to do the window dressing and turn this into like kind of a gimmicky thing. That's my only beef. And not most fans want to go right over their head, Carl, so it's no big deal anyway. You go evaluate who you evaluate, but to sit there and make this big determination, I know you're worried about defense. It's only defense. Defense, defense, defense. That's what we're doing. So that's what you say that, then people react to it.
I like it. I mean, I just do. I mean, I hear you, but I'm just like, there's nothing wrong with saying that this is the weak spot in our defense. Like, this is where our weaknesses lie on our team.
Right.
And I'm going to put all my resources into figuring out what the best option is going to be for us for the draft. I have no problems with that. I've been saying all week, I didn't want him to look at any offensive guys.
Right. Look, just because you've done some screwy stuff, we'll talk more about this at 5 o'clock. Just because you've done some things which leave some fans scratching their head, I still don't think you box yourself into a corner, even when you know the outlying need is defense.
But
in the perception department.
Okay, so I'll say this, and I know you got other stuff with Gene Hackman and all this stuff that we got to get to. But just because you have or you put this statement out there doesn't mean that you come back. Let me tell you guys, the resources these days, guys, that literally, the Combine is an event. It's the only reason they have it. You could do all of this now, either remotely, or you could have guys come to your facility and do the same stuff that you're doing at the Combine. It doesn't mean that you're not doing your due diligence with the offensive side of the ball, but what you are telling your audience and your fan base is, we absolutely agree with what you're saying as to what our deficiencies are, and we're going to approach it.
That's it. It's a marketing wing of your team. Hey, man, we'll talk more about it at 5 o'clock with the Falcon Report. We mentioned Gene Hackman passed away at the age of 95. Initially, I think most people, Carl and I were talking before the show off the air, when you hear of a husband and wife and a family pet. One of the other, they had two other dogs that made it, but one dog was also found dead. You think it's a gas leak, and then apparently out in Santa Fe, New Mexico, the local gas company's involved with the police, and then they also said there was reports that made it to USA Today that there were some perhaps some pills, so I don't want to jump to conclusions because you know, that's what's the worst part. My dad always hated that with an investigation for anything. Is like some cop's going to talk to somebody with the newspapers and everything gets out there. And then you're, now you're playing catch up with the investigation. But anyway, we'll wait to see. But one thing for certain, the guy was a legend. As Carl said, one of the greats of his generation, and just an amazing story. That group of guys that right on the cusp of World War II in Korea served and then went on and found their way to acting lessons, and then from there on, from the stage to the screen. So, I mean, so many gazillion movies. The first one I think of when I think of Gene Hackman is Popeye Doyle, and it was pretty cool. I've seen some interviews with Gene Hackman where he talked about being an actor who wants to, he's not full-blown method actor, but he wants to get the experience of the guy he's portraying. So he runs out there with Sonny Grasso, and they basically just see what the cops do back in New York in the late 60s, early 70s, and that makes it onto the film. And then, of course, William Friedkin deciding to shoot the most crazy car chase, arguably the greatest car chase ever, in guerrilla fashion without any permits from New York City.
Just did it.
In Bensonhurst, just Brooklyn, under the BMT train. One thing real quick, you do see Gene Hackman driving the car. He gets behind the wheel. There are sequences where there's the camera literally in the front of the car and you see his reaction on the hood. But the guy that does most of the wheel work is a guy named Bill Hickman. And the reason it's interesting, he's the FBI guy that they're always scrapping with in the movie that the cops can't stand. He was also a stunt driver. And the interesting thing is, two of the greatest car chases in American film history, this guy was behind the wheel of Gene Hackman's car in The French Connection, and he was in the bad guy's car with Steve McQueen in Bullet.
Interesting.
He was the same wheelman. Remember the guy with the gun in the back of the Challenger?
Same guy.
Same dude. So anyway, I found that little factoid kind of interesting. They wanted him to shave. He had a mustache back. Everybody had mustaches in the 70s. Richard Donner, who did the Superman movie with Christopher Reeves, wanted him, Gene Hackman, to shave his mustache. And Gene's like, no, I'm not shaving my mustache. Donner goes, well, I'll tell you what. I'll make a deal with you. I'll shave mine, and you shave yours. And Gene's like, well, okay. And then they find out that Donner had been wearing a prop mustache the whole time he made the deal. It's been pretty interesting. One last nugget on this. It is pretty funny. I mentioned to Carl of all the amazing movies. Carl, during the commercial break, we were playing some stuff in studio from Crimson Tide, and how amazing him is. The interplay with him and Denzel is just unbelievable. Gene Hackman is pretty interesting. The movie Get Shorty, I was telling Carl, he said he didn't want to do comedies. And Barry Sonnenfeld, the director, said, look, just play it straight, and the people will interpret it one way or the other. And it was funny. He plays, if you've ever seen Get Shorty, that's Travolta. A couple of movies he did where he goes to Hollywood, gets in the film business, but there's so many. What's your favorite? Top three Gene Hackman movies.
Hoosiers. Right. And it's not just number one. I think just because of the sports angle, it plays for what, I think if you grew up playing sports, or like I told Mike, that speech, don't get caught up thinking about winning or losing. I've heard that time and time again over the years from coaches. Where he's basically just saying, be the best you can, and we'll look up at the scoreboard, and you're a winner in my eyes. That's right. It stayed with us. I would tell you Crimson Tide, just because of the way we were watching that here in just a few minutes ago. And then, he did win an Oscar, and that's the thing, Mike, to your point.
One, two.
Well, about The French Connection. That people look at that movie, and it's like a turning point.
Right.
By the way, he didn't start acting. He was 37. Like, he didn't get his breakthrough role.
Right.
So it's very similar in my eyes, Mike, to like Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford was in his late 30s as well.
Busy building houses, trying to pay the bills in Hollywood as an aspiring actor.
It's very similar with Gene Hackman. So it's not like he was a childhood prodigy it just popped off for him. He was a workaholic. I heard some stuff today from Kevin Costner, who was talking about his time with him and how Costner was talking about him. Listen. All you need to do is go look and see the reactions across the entertainment world about Gene Hackman. And it tells you everything you need to know about his craft and how seriously he took it. But those two, and then, you could throw one up in the air, Mike, and just see. There's so many movies. This is what I loved about him, though. There was never a movie that I didn't watch with Gene Hackman, and Unforgiven would be my third, that I didn't believe he was who he was. Like, I didn't look at a movie. There are actors you go to the movies and you go,
yeah, He's acting.
Yeah. There are movie actors like Gene Hackman who you go, I didn't even see Gene Hackman on the screen. Like, that's how good he was.
It's just such a natural. Yeah, I love I've watched The French Connection every time it's on. Now, again, I think by today's, for a younger audience, guys younger than Chris, it probably moves at a slower pace.
I agree.
Because it's procedural, and you're seeing how, the scene when he's tailing the French drug dealer on the subway, I've watched that a million times. We mentioned Hoosiers. I love Mississippi Burning.
Good move.
I mean, he's unbelievable in that as a Southern FBI agent going after it. And then one, I'll throw a curveball at you. I love Wes Anderson movies. I know, as I said to Carl earlier, not everybody digs him, but playing Royal Tenenbaum, and he's basically this miscreant con man father of the Tenenbaum family, and Ben Stiller is his son.
You think you can march? You want to talk some jive? I'll talk some jive. I'll talk some jive like you never heard.
He's talking to Danny Glover, who's engaged to his ex-wife. Again, it's a lot. Wes Anderson, not everybody gets it, but I love that movie. But anyway, rest in peace, Gene Hackman. All right, brother, when's the last time you had a situation where, if not you, and I used to deal with a lot of road rage, since my anger management, I have gotten better. Matter of fact, now since I just had my little heart scare, I mean, today, for instance, a guy come barreling up behind me, I just got out of the way.
Yeah.
Not going to race or anything, but just go take it, man. You got it. You go. I know there's a cop hanging around the corner. You get it. The reason I bring it up is I'm trying to show by age 56 now some personal growth behind the wheel. A story in Memphis, Tennessee has got people maybe rethinking what happens when you have, in this case, an accident. Now, somebody wasn't paying attention and rear-ended a guy at a stoplight outside of Memphis, and the guy starts screaming at the car behind them. And then, well, as we like to say, that escalated quickly. Motorist that's behind this fracas gets the camera out because this guy gets in the trunk and breaks out an axe.
Oh, he's going after an axe?
And starts swinging the axe at the passenger side door of the car that rear-ended him.
People are in the other car.
In the car.
Wow.
Yeah, man, it's pretty bananas. Suspect was allegedly rear-ended by another vehicle. Unidentified man whose car was hit. Exits the vehicle, starts screaming. Then, I guess maybe they scream back or whatever. Usually at that point, you get out, hey, I'm really sorry. Let's get the insurance information. Ah! All of a sudden, it's like, Wendy, I'm home.
Yeah.
I'm going to huff and I'll puff.
Shining
and
reference.
I'll blow your Acura down.
That's crazy, Mike. Seriously, I don't even know what I would think if I saw somebody get out of the car with
an axe. So basically put a couple of holes in the door and then realize, you know, he's probably going to go to jail for this. He gets in the car and takes off. Suspect's vehicle described as a 2012 Chevy Impala.
Wow.
And they're looking for tips in the Memphis area. So just be aware of that. Have you been watching the TGL Golf, tomorrow's golf league? I watched one match so far.
Yeah, I honestly can't tell you I have. I told you I've seen it. It's been on casually, but not at home. I'm not invested like that.
Yeah, the numbers are really bad. This most recent, they've been doing double dips at like 5 and 9 o'clock on ESPN, and they're doing basically 200,000, 250,000 people. Arthur Blank is one of the investors in this. We've got a team, the Atlanta squad. I watched that Rory match against Tiger that was great because it's obviously two superstars.
Sure.
But the numbers, it's just, and even with these guys engaged and having fun and showing some personality, it's just not happening.
Yeah, there's something to be said about, you know, real golf being out. The beauty of this, and ESPN is trying to take advantage of this, Mike, is you can put this on in the evening because it's all, you know, indoors and, you know, it's all with the simulators and whatnot.
Right.
So you can do this whenever. They're trying to make this into a primetime event with the star power, and it's just not translating.
Yeah,
right now.
I know some people have said Matthew Berry is not the right host for it. Other guys feel that, you know, you want to just have him be really loose and fun with it. They're trying to find the note for the right tone.
They are.
And they're struggling for it. Maybe they'll reboot it, but right now, hard to see if these numbers continue, they're going to roll this for another season, that's for sure. Hey, when you left yesterday to go do TV, there was a story for a minute that Bryson DeChambeau was leaving LIV Golf to come back to the PGA, but it was some website that nobody ever heard of, like my5iron.com. And then later it came out.
That would have been big, because I would love to see all the guys that left come back. And now, how much money are they leaving on the table? Who knows? But I would love to see that because LIV is dead.
The story was he was going to basically pump them for another quarter of a billion or more. And then if they didn't take it, well, screw it, I'm going to go back. He's currently under contract for one more year.
Okay.
So you got one more year under LIV. So the story
Speaking of watching events, have you watched any LIV?
No.
I haven't watched
it. It's like I told Carl, it's like watching Bloomberg News. You got all these stupid numbers and stats on the team. And no one, let's be honest, nobody could care less about the team concept. You know, it's just too much stuff going on. Hey, man. People in the media on media violence. Pretty funny. I can't take credit for the line that I use as the tease. That actually comes from Pro Football Talk and Florio. But the Thrilla and Vanilla Latte. Ian Rappaport went on the Pat McAfee show to address the incident that happened apparently at the Starbucks right outside or inside the Lucas Oil Stadium with a guy named Jordan Schultz of Fox. Now, the story goes that initially Jordan Schultz reported that it was Tom Brady. Apparently, everyone's got a house in Montana, like Arthur Blank, and it was at this big ranch house in Montana, and he invited Matthew Stafford to come up and let's talk about this Raiders opportunity. And then Rappaport says, no, they both have houses there, and there's basically nothing to it. And then Jordan Schultz got upset and apparently says, hey, Rappaport! Why are you piddling in my Cheerios, man?
Wow.
Yep, so apparently they started apparently yelling at each other. And as he said to McAfee, I asked my wife last night, why does anyone care about this? Well, it's two guys in the media yelling at each other. It's a very slow news cycle.
Yeah, well, and two very well-known guys,
right,
who I think a lot of football fans trust with their stories. And so so basically, Ian is saying he's wrong about this.
Right.
Okay.
And but Jordan Schultz is like, well, why are you jacking with my story? He goes, if you have something to say, say it to my blanking face, he says to Rappaport.
In a coffee shop?
If this continues, we're going to have a blanking problem. As noted below, Schultz says he does not recall using profanity. Rappaport then apparently shoots back again, saying, I don't know what the blank you're talking about. Anyway, the incident was reported to NFL security, but it's
security.
It is always fun to watch, media type scrap. I remember we were at the Final Four 1 year. Steak tells the story. Yeah. Mike Lupica, you seen, remember from the Sports Reporters back in the day?
Yeah, he was a hothead back in the day.
They weren't letting the reporters come out until the team came out, and Lupica sits down Indian style and is going to like just sit there. And everyone in the media is like, Mike, you're making up yourself.
Yeah,
you know?
Nothing. Yeah,
stop it. But anyway, there's the story. That's all the news that's fit to print. It's Guy Talk, brought to you by Dukes and Bell. Hey, man. Hey.
That's awesome.
There was one more interesting nugget to come out of that story that nobody knew. Jordan Schultz is the son of Howard Schultz, who is the CEO of Starbucks.
No freaking way. So does he get his, I guess he has free latte cards.
So he came in there to get a little drink on daddy's dime.
Right.
And then he blew up on Mr. Rappaport.
Interesting.
Huh? Well, I mean, he had a nice story, then Rappaport basically just pooped on it.
Yeah. Well, listen, I guess these guys who break these stories take it personal when stories that they didn't get. Either way, I would have liked to have seen them come to blows. That's just me. I don't know about you guys.
I love media on media violence. Personally,
I'm
that's just
saying,
me.
Yeah. Schultz has thrown Ian over the counter.
Schultz would be like a minus 500 favorite.
Yeah.
Right. Rappaport's a little guy.
He is a small guy. He is.
Wouldn't that be funny? Like, you know, Falcons media, like this stuff, every once in a while, this will happen in Boston. You know, reporters will get into it with each other. Like, do you get your hand out of my pocket, Ramondi?
You get a battle royale. A battle royale of the Falcons reporters, who you think comes out on top.
Oh, my goodness. Josh Kendall has got Jeff Schultz in a chokehold.
Yeah, we don't get a whole lot of that, but when it happens, it is interesting. All right, man, we're coming back. Falcon Report's on the way. How do you feel about our general manager?
No. I'm being serious. He's done some good things.
I know you don't think so, but he has. We're going to talk about it when we come back. This is his time to shine, and I'm not talking about the combine. I'm talking about this offseason. We'll get into that and much more coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.